Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here today. And I didn't know if I was going to make it on the air right away. I had to go move my car so that Pastor Lutz could get out in his Lamborghini here before. If you were listening to his program, Pastor Lutz, just before us, was talking about houses and inferred that I lived in a palatial estate out where I'm at. But so I figured I would be able to have the last word since we follow him. But appreciate his program. That was good. And I might touch on that here in just a minute here, but a little bit more. But he doesn't drive a Lamborghini. Don't worry about that. That's just making that up, just kidding him. He's actually got a cherry red Ferrari. He just raced down here and left tracks in the parking lot. So I know he's probably listening. He heard that. So anyway, appreciate Pastor Lutz and his ministry, and pray for them and the church out there in Lakewood and North Coast Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about us online. You can follow our program at LiveWithPastorAl.com. That's LiveWithPastorAl.com. And you can find us there. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/LiveWithPastorAl. That's Facebook.com/LiveWithPastorAl. And let's see if we ever get Facebook to work. You can also follow us on Facebook Live here, but it's rather slow today. I've been trying to get it to connect for the past minute or two, I think, since we've been on the air. But hopefully it'll come up here in a minute. But just a reminder, I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have more information about that at the end of the program. But certainly invite you to come out and visit. And our church, we're a small church. We meet actually in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and you can find us there at 5171 Brecksville Road, right in northern Summit County, Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we are right off from Interstate 77, right off from the Turnpike where they meet there, and State Route 21. That's Brecksville Road in Richfield at that point. And as I said, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock, our Friday night Bible study. And, you know, we have different services. They were there on Sunday as well. Our Sunday morning Bible study at 10, our morning service at 11, our evening service at 6 p.m. We're all there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express where we meet. But in some ways, our Friday night Bible study is one of my favorite, in the sense that it's a little more relaxed and we get to talk about a variety of questions that people bring up, things that people are asking questions about. And it gives me feedback, too, on what people are wondering, what people are hearing, perhaps in the news, that they're trying to make sense of in light of God's Word, which is, really, this is how this program came to be, is out of our Friday night Bible study, and the idea of having people call in with questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And you can actually do that today, right now. Our telephone lines are actually open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, you can give us a call there this afternoon. All right, well, Let's see, we haven't prayed yet, so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into a couple of things here on the program today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We just thank you for this ministry outreach. We just pray it would be a blessing, encouragement to somebody today. I would just pray also that you would use us for your glory, help us to point people to Christ. If somebody is searching, help us be able to provide answers that you can use to help them in their search for the truth of the gospel. And also, again, pray that you could help us to encourage Christians and on their walk with you. And we just thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we've got a number of things going on in the news. Just want to let you know here, and I think we've got a caller calling in to get to you in just a moment here. But before I forget, I want to remind you that our church anniversary service is coming up a week from Sunday. That's the 16th. And we will be enjoying, well, the anniversary of our church. But we have Eric Howitt, Brother Eric Howitt. Some of you, our listeners, know Eric Howitt and have been blessed by his music. He'll be providing music, singing for us. And we're going to have a potluck dinner, carry-in dinner following the morning service. Morning service, of course, at 7, or I'm sorry, at 11. And the carry-in dinner probably start about 12:30 thereabouts, 1 o'clock in that time frame, time we get everything sorted out. And then, of course, at 2 o'clock, Brother Howitt is going to be singing. He'll provide a gospel music concert for us. And if you have the opportunity to be in the area, why don't you join us on Sunday the 16th at our anniversary service, located at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Well, as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I've got John calling in this afternoon. And John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I hope this won't take long.
Yes, sir.
I've read the story. We've all heard the story of Jonah and the whale as children growing up.
Yes.
As many times as I've read the book of Jonah, this time when I read it through, I had one word smack me in the face when I was reading through it, and I think it's in Jonah chapter 2, when they throw Jonah overboard. I believe it says that God produced a great fish.
Right.
I'm the word produced. I don't know why that word smacked me in the face all of a sudden, but does that mean that God created that fish for that particular purpose at that particular time?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm basically on. Or did he just bring that fish from one area to another for the purpose of getting Jonah where he needed him to be? That word produced is just.
Yeah, and actually that word is right here at the end of chapter 1, actually. You're pretty close there. Chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah." And yeah, that word prepared right there, a number of people have looked at that and have said that this fish was, you know, created for that express purpose. And if God wanted to do that, that is entirely possible. That's entirely, you know, within the realm of God's ability, you know, to do that. But the word prepare there could also refer to the fact that he used an existing animal, an existing sea creature that he brought in and had it at the ready. And a lot of times when you look at miracles in the Bible, somebody used a phrase one time, and I'm probably not quoting the phrase exactly right, but the conservation of the miraculous. And the idea is that when God does miraculous things, oftentimes he in the midst of the miracle, there are things that he expects people to do, or he conserves what he does in terms of the miraculous. He basically restricts it to only things that can't be done naturally, which, of course, by definition, that's what a miracle is. It's something that's supernatural. And I give you, for instance, when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, God supernaturally pushed the waters back, but they still had to cross the sea. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with the few loaves and fishes, you know, he miraculously multiplied the loaves and fishes, but the people still had to distribute the food and eat it. And countless other miracles, if you think about it in the Bible, God only did a certain part of it. And with that in mind, I'm inclined to believe that this was an existing creature that was in the water that God brought and made it ready, so that when Jonah was cast into the water, that this sea creature would swallow him up. And then a lot of question then becomes, what is the sea creature? You know, it says fish here and elsewhere, you know, uses the term whale, and people have said, well, that's a contradiction in terms or in words. But if you remember on the day of creation, when God created the fish in the sea, I believe that was on, let's see, day number 5 in Genesis 20. He says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, where he says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, God saw that it was good. You know, whales and fish were created on the same day, and you know, prior to relatively recently, like maybe about the 1600s or so, whales were just considered large fish rather than mammals that swim in the sea. So, you know, a whale would have been called a fish. So using the term whale and fish interchangeably would not have been a problem, you know, in the 1611 King James Bible, or most certainly in Jesus' day in the first century, or in Jonah's day, or, you know, when Jonah was recorded. So, interestingly enough, National Geographic did a story. This is probably goes back at least 20 years ago, where they were talking about the whale shark. And, you know, the whale would have been probably used to describe the whale shark as well. And the whale shark is kind of interesting. It just sort of cruises through the water with its mouth open, and anything that goes in there that it doesn't eat after it's there for a little while, the whale shark actually will turn its stomach inside out and push everything out that it can't eat. Which kind of sounds like how Jonah came out, doesn't it?
Interesting, yes.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And there have been cases. There's a case in the 1800s where a whaling ship, where one of the sailors was washed overboard when they were fighting with this whale that they were hunting. And as they captured the whale, killed the whale, and they hoisted it up and they were cutting it open, they actually found him alive inside of the whale. So, you know, but if I had to pick a particular marine or sea creature, I would pick the whale shark, and it's plenty big enough, and Jonah would have been somebody that was indigestible to the whale shark, and so the whale shark, after a few days, would have turned its stomach inside out and pushed him out. But I do think that God prepared the fish for, you know, just that occasion, brought it there so it would be there when Jonah was cast into the water. And Jesus, of course, you know, put his stamp of approval on this story too, when he referred to it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I don't know why that word just jumped out and slapped me in the face after all those time. I had to get my conscience clear and figure out what that word meant.
So. Well, yeah, and prepared. It's an interesting word, you know, and it's just like, it's hard to believe in a couple of months we'll be talking about Thanksgiving, and I usually end up fixing the turkey at my house, and I have to prepare the roaster pan to receive the turkey. See, so when I get the turkey out and get it all ready, the pan is prepared waiting. And I kind of look at that in a sense, that's what God did with this fish. He had it ready and waiting, and it happened to be cruising through the water there at the time that Jonah was cast in. And of course, it would have been swallowed up with a sufficient quantity of air, which would not have been terribly unusual. In fact, the National Geographic article about 20 years or so ago even said that this could have happened. So, very interesting.
Very interesting. All right, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Much better.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, John. I appreciate that, and thank you for the chance to talk about that. I heard somebody refer to Jonah as religious fiction one time. It's not religious fiction. Jesus quoted it as if it was real. Somebody pointed that out to somebody one time who said it wasn't real, and they said, well, Jesus either was ignorant of the truth or he was pandering to the ignorance of the people. No, it was real. It happened. Even National Geographic said that it could potentially happen, so why reject it? Besides, God can do the miraculous. All right, that was the book of Jonah there. Great story and great lessons from that. We've got Mike waiting online as well. Mike, welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon. I was wondering about in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14 about the stones of fire, when it says the anointed cherub has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire.
All right, Ezekiel chapter 28. And
verse 16, it says the stones of fire also, you know.
When we're looking at this here, it's interesting because in Ezekiel chapter 28, and let me back up toward the beginning of the chapter real quick. In verse 2, he's addressing the prince of Tyrus, and then in verse 12, now he's addressing the king of Tyrus. And I believe that that shows that he's addressing the power behind the throne of the earthly ruler of Tyrus, and that prince of Tyrus would be the earthly ruler, and the king of Tyrus, the power behind him, is none other than Satan himself, the devil. And the Bible talks about, there's a couple passages in Daniel, I think about Daniel chapter 10 or 11, where it talks about princes and angels being princes and rulers in regards to countries and peoples. So I believe we're talking about the devil here. Plus, there's some other clues here that would not have applied to the earthly ruler of Tyrus, because he says there in verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And there's only three entities that we know that were in Eden other than God, and that was Adam and Eve and the devil. So when we come down through there, the description, verse 14, where he says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Well, cherub is a form of an angelic being, and the devil, of course, was created as an angelic being. And so he says, I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And that holy mountain of God I think is a reference to God's dwelling place. And let me see if I can find this real quick here in Isaiah chapter 14, where we also see the fall of Lucifer. This is what Lucifer said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. God is rebuking Lucifer, and he says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so this idea of the mount of the congregation that he's going to sit up on would be like, I think, the equivalent of the holy mountain of God. Some people would equate the holy mountain of God with the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but I think this is talking about in heaven, and so the midst of the stones of fire. When we see pictures of God in heaven, we see, let's see here, let me come back to Revelation here, last book of the Bible. give me a chance to get turned back here. There's a passage there where John is caught up to be revealed the things that are going to happen in the last days. And as he is caught up into heaven, let's see, in Revelation chapter 4, he describes God's throne there in heaven, and he talks in verse 5 about the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne there is a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne, round about the throne are four beasts full of eyes, four and behind. These are four beings that surround the throne, angelic beings crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." But in this description, we have God on the throne, and of course, his light of his radiance would radiate out and reflect, you know, from the sea of glass like unto crystal in front of it, and then his manifestation as the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. I think where we can get the idea there that you know, between the devil being created with a coating of precious stones that would certainly radiate the light of God, that would look like fires burning, you know, inside of the stones, the reflection of the lights. I think this is a picture of God's throne room where, you know, the various things that are there and the descriptions, you know, the light of God being reflected in the sea of crystal around him, and perhaps other things that are there reflecting God's light, reflecting his glory like Lucifer originally was supposed to do. And so he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. These gemstones, even the ones that were created, the ones that were on him in verse, here we're back in Ezekiel 28, verse 13, where he said, "Every precious stone was thy covering." And he goes on and he lists a bunch of precious stones. And reflecting the light of God, when you think about at the end of the book of Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth, and then there's the new Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven with the gemstones that are there in the foundation of that, and the light of God, you know, his radiance shining through that, it would look like stones of fire. And so even the devil himself, as Lucifer, before he fell into sin, you know, the precious stones that were his covering would have looked like stones of fire, because you know, that light reflecting and refracting inside of those precious stones would have looked like an internal fire burning within them. So I think this is just a picture of the throne room of heaven in the midst of the stones of fire.
And then in that 16th verse, then it says he's going to the lake of fire anyway. He won't be for around the midst of the stones of fire. He'll be down in
right
eternally in the lake of fire. So that's
right.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of times that people always say, you know, they take it literally, stones of fire, but the reflection of the glory of God and Lucifer being there, that brings a lot more light on the stones of fire. So,
oh yeah,
keep up the good ministry, and the Lord bless you. I was a first time caller, and normally I've never listened before at this time. I'm not available normally at this time, but it was a blessing.
Well, thank you for listening, and we're also on Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. So if you're
that's when I'll probably be able to catch you guys more on Sunday
all right
night.
Well, we'll join us again Sunday night at 11 then. Like I said, we have a whole hour on Sunday nights. And just a half hour today.
The Lord bless you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for calling. I'm glad you found us, and hope you'll keep listening and maybe call back in the future. So God bless.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. All right. And you are listening to Live with Pastor Al. We just got a couple of more minutes to go here in the program. And, you know, thinking about the stones of fire, you know, the term of fire burning within gemstones, it's not an unfamiliar concept. I remember going in one time, this is years ago, probably about 25 years or more ago, down in Kentucky. I was at a church, and the pastor was friends with a guy who owned a gem warehouse, and we got to tour it, and had a star Burma sapphire, and it was worth like $60,000, something like that. And I said, what makes it so special? And he took a flashlight and he shone it down on the side. It was like a fiery star burning in the center, like a stone of fire. And we reflect God's glory. When we know Christ as our Savior, you're going to reflect God's glory in your life. Let me encourage you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you consider what the Bible has to say? Put your faith in Christ. Reflect His glory. You're created for His glory. And you can reflect His glory if you know Christ. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.